And this is the Community Connection Show with Greg Carrick here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
So good afternoon. It is good afternoon. It's one, yeah, 1 o'clock. It's Monday. It's like daylight savings.
Well, daylight
and the time
savings,
is just like my head is just still
throws resting. You right out.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm Michael. I'm the Community Development Officer for the Upper Yarra from Council. And the first Monday of each month, I come and bring in some guests from community to talk about what's happening in the Upper Yarra and in the Yarra Ranges broadly as well. And a lot of stuff happening within the sustainability and renewal, particularly around climate action as well. So I thought it'd be a great theme to have around sustainability. So I've got a few guests in here today. We've got ECOS, got Chelsea from ECOS. Hello.
Hi.
And also got Travis here as well. And Travis, you're wearing a few hats as well.
Yes, g'day.
So what hats are you wearing?
Well, I'd say we're talking about Upper Yarra Community of Climate Action. So mm-hmm. part of the group there. I'm president of Permaculture Yarra Valley, a mm-hmm. long-established, you could call it a climate action group, but a very grassroots, earthy action to creating a better future, and also co-regener of Peace Farm. And I'll run a CSA market garden as part of that as well.
Just a few things. A few. Not very busy at all, are you?
plenty of time.
So I thought today would be a good chance to actually tell our stories of saying, you know, where ECOS has come from and what's happening there, and also with the Peace Farm and with the Climate Action Group, where it's come from and how the community be involved and how it started, and where you want to go to from here as well. Like, what do you see happening? There's a lot of happening in this time. This year particularly around climate action, and Council's also just acknowledged a climate emergency as well. So there's this momentum happening in the area. So they identify the ways of, you know, what community's doing and how Council can support as well. So maybe Chelsea, like I said, what does ECOS stand for and how did it start?
I know that initially ECOS, well, it was Upper Yarra Community Enterprise, and then when it was taken over and they rebranded, I wasn't there, and they came up with the name ECOS, and it wasn't meant to mean anything. But it ironically fits perfectly with ecological and social sustainability, which is really exactly what we do. So we run lots of events and, you know, education programs and community garden and try and make it really inclusive. And we're doing a lot of work with the local Wurundjeri mob at the moment, and I think that that's an integral part in sustainability and looking at how First Peoples looked after the land, and that's sort of become a big theme of, you know, cultural celebrations and projects happening on the site as well. Yeah. Do you want me to be specific about what
I'd love to hear what's happening. So when did ECOS first
It's become 10 years old.
10 years old, thought, yeah, close
yeah.
to 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I've been there for about 8 years now.
Okay.
And it's a long time, but slowly doing lots of different jobs. But right now I'm the executive officer at ECOS, so I'm involved in everything going on the site. Yeah. And we've got a huge amount of disabilities groups from Interchange Outer East and Wesley United coming every day of the week at the moment, pretty much doing gardening around the site and little projects, and they're absolutely amazing. Like, we really need to acknowledge and value how much people are capable of when their bodies may not be cooperating with their mind, or, you know, like they've got extra challenges and they're doing amazing things. And we just hosted the Sun Festival.
Yes,
and
that was last 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah, a few weeks
21st.
Ago.
21st.
Could be three. Yeah, 21st of September. And it was the weather was terrible, actually. It rained and it was really windy. But people showed up, and so I actually was quite heartened by the community spirit.
Yeah.
But the way the site was presented on the day was beautiful, because so much work was done by volunteers, you know, before that. And we'd had this tree hanging over the community garden, so the volunteers weren't able to work in the garden on the lead up to the day, but they put so much effort in around the rest of the site. It was amazing.
It's amazing.
So we have a lot of good energy around volunteerism and things at the moment, but it's mainly groups with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Plus we accept over 55s, Work for the Dole, and other straight up volunteers. And
yeah.
So we have We do have co-locators with businesses that are ethically aligned. So Silver Time Biodynamic Farm is down the back.
Yes.
Tenance and Chocolate, they're Mexican friends of ours that do sweat lodges and stuff down the back. And so keeping cultural ceremony alive in there is really important for us. There's a community pottery studio, Warburton Environment, Upper Yarra Landcare, Tiny Houses to Go. Tiny houses are built on site. There's one just leaving and a couple about to be built.
Ah, really? I've seen that one at the front there. Yeah, it's chair amazing. Bodging, it's beautiful.
Keeping traditional hand skills alive is another thing. It's like Tom Neal does chair bodging and greenwood furniture making.
So chair bodging.
It's when you sit on a sawhorse thing and you use a draw knife and you make greenwood furniture. It's so awesome. You can make these most incredible stools and chairs and tables and stuff. And so, yeah, with the pottery studio and the chair, it's called chair bodgering, actually.
Okay.
And the chair bodgering, it that's part of, keeping hand skills alive. And
yes.
We also run an education program for school groups. So we have some schools coming every week and others by excursion. And that's, we're trying to always, they're doing earth building things like that, and keeping keeping awareness around passive solar house design and passive solar building techniques. And we do bottle walling and straw baling and mud brick building and things like that.
Yeah, it's a plethora of stuff. It's incredible.
Heaps of stuff. And we have the coop is like a hall, and it is available for hire for different things. So we have host all sorts of things, but trying to be ethically aligned with the ecological and social sustainability. Okay. Plus, we have Ecotopia as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a big festival. Now, that happens in Yarra Junction.
In Yarra Junction, and it's March 29th next year. Mm-hmm. We've chosen a date. We're looking at a futuristic theme.
Okay.
Maybe 2040.
Yes.
And if Damon Gameo was listening to this, I'd be saying, come, because we're theming it after you. That's our biggest events in the year. Definitely the Sun Festival and Ecotopia. But we have the Recycle Fashion Parade coming up, and West African Immersion, and lots of other smaller events.
Yeah. It's always stuff happening as well. Yeah. It's incredible. So Travis is next to me. And I think you mentioned before you're heavily involved in the Peace Farm as well, which I only know Peace Farm because of your eggs.
Okay.
But tell us about, like, if you didn't know much about Peace Farm, tell us about what is Peace Farm.
Sure. So Peace stands for Permaculture, Education, Arts and Community Enterprise.
Yes.
So we're a small, family-run farm. There's three families that manage the farm and created it. We're like, in some ways, like a mini ECOS, but without any funding from anyone. We just sort of do our thing and... obviously permaculture is a big part of it, and it's a bit of an experiment really for community enterprise. We have an organic nursery where we sell seedlings, run by Matt Danielli. We also have the CSA Market Garden, which I run as well, which is run through a veggie box scheme, which is starting soon, by the way, just a couple of weeks, and the boxes start coming out. So, you commented on my grubby jeans.
Yes, and I'm working hard already.
I did literally just come from planting chives.
Oh.
Jumped in the van and came and came along. So, as a community, really, one of our main gigs has been just creating space for small events. And recently, we have been a big part of this, I guess, the climate action movement has just, having a space for some big events that happened that sort of kicked off some of this climate action stuff that we're talking about today.
So when did Peace Farm first start?
I think about 7 years. I think we'd come up to our seventh birthday.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So not long at all.
We're still very young and still forming. And
And so the fruit box you mentioned as well, that coming out, food boxes. Sorry.
Yeah, yep, yep. So we run a weekly veggie box.
So currently that's something you do already?
It doesn't run all year.
Yes.
Yeah, we have a
seasonal
little break.
Yes.
Yeah. So it starts early December.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
But we start registering people in the next couple of weeks. So you can go to peacefarm.com.au for those details. Not quite up, but also we're active on Facebook as well. So
keeps you busy.
It does.
And you're also involved in the Upper Yarra Community for Climate Action.
Yeah, so this particular group's quite new, although it is a coming together of a lot of people who've been working on various fronts of climate action. And as you would be well aware, like, climate action isn't, there's not one thing you do to you know, create a sustainable future. It's actually involved everything that we do, from the food that we eat to our vehicle transport, and, you know, it's embodied in everything. So the beautiful thing that's happening is with the formation of this group, it's essentially about connecting a lot of the leaders in the group, like Chelsea and Leanne and the council, South of Press, and it's basically a forum for us all to catch up, coordinate, put on events, and, yeah, just build the momentum of, because there is a lot of people, yeah, wanting to take action and wanting action taken on climate. So it's really a support network and a bit of a clearinghouse for information and events. So.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I think particularly in the Yarra range, particularly I think in Upper Yarra, it's my Yarra working as well, but very aware of, there's a lot of happening in the area around sustainability and permaculture. Why do you think that is? I mean, that's a question to both of you. Like, ECOS has been set up here and Peaceful as well, and there's a lot of those, you know, social enterprise community groups that are doing a lot of action. Why do you think it's more prevalent in this area?
I think part of it, I probably, this should be Travis's saying this, but I'm just thinking that because it is a large farming area, you know, you're very reliant on good weather conditions and very aware of what's going on in the environment. I don't know if that has something to do with it, but I do imagine that when you're in a city and you're not relying on, you know, the weather to be fantastic for your income, like, that probably says something about it. But yeah, a lot of people move to the valley because it's so beautiful and they're so connected to nature, and I think there's no, we all can see that the environment's changing and we're responding. I think that's it. Even the youth, you know, so I facilitate a youth climate action group at ECOS, and we're taking a break this term. I wanted to remember to say that, because we went really hard last term with the big climate rally and building up for the Sun Festival and doing art exhibition and things like that, that we just need a little bit of a break. But the youth group, they're, you know, very passionate about the environment, and it's really lovely to see these teenagers that are really... they've got a big fire in their belly about taking climate action seriously.
Absolutely.
And yeah, it's... So, I don't know. I think it's that because the area is so beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is. I think it's one of those things, come across all townships, particularly in the Upper Yarra as well. People move here to be part of nature. It seems like there's a real connection for across the whole community around that the connection to the environment and to the place itself. Which is amazing to see.
And community.
Yes.
You know, I feel like that's a massive part of it. And, yeah, you know, Travis is living on community. This community climate action group, it's a community in itself. There's so many communities within this community. It feels that everyone knows each other, and there's a really great energy towards the same goal, which is to be as active as we can, I think.
I think you've nailed the head there. There was one time, I think... Put a few people around. Why? What place makes this place different? And it's just like community of tribes. It's this big community, but everyone has this tribe they belong to, and these tribes work together towards certain things as well. As it is, so many people have these, like you were saying, tribes here, wear so many different hats in different areas, and Leanne and Chelsea, you do too. Like, all these different things you do within community. It's not just one thing that you're involved in. You're involved in many things, and it's all about bringing people together and connecting. It's incredible.
Yeah. Can I just say on that note that I live on a community and at Murrumurra, and we've got a festival coming up, and it's a intentional communities gathering. So Peace Farm's going to be there, and, you know, we promote connection and living on community and living together and working together, because we think it's probably the healthiest way to live. And isolation, we all know it's not good for anybody's mental health and thriving. So yeah, Earth Art Beat Festival, it's on November 8, 9 and 10, and if you want to come and meet people from Murrundukka, Common Ground, Peace Farm, Urban Coop, and a whole bunch of communities that exist in Melbourne and in and outer Melbourne, it's, yeah, we've got what's called a living library is going to happen there, and people are offering themselves up as a living library book, and so you can borrow a living library book from any community for 15 minutes and just ask whatever you want. That's a pretty cool concept,
that's,
I think.
Yeah,
it's
amazing. Yarra Valley FM 99.1. The voice of the valley.
We're actually cutting off the air about more and more, and it's actual. Just learned that it is the oldest continuous intentional community in Australia, which is incredible. And I think talk about, you know, one of the reasons why sustainability and the environment movement is so strong here is potentially one of the reasons is because of more and more. So maybe, Chelsea, you can talk a bit more about that. The birth of Muramura and that journey so far.
Yeah, so Muramura came out of the Aquarius Festival, big hippie festival back in the 70s. And, it's 1974, I think it was. And then 12 people got together and they had an urban community, which they were living in the city, and then they purchased the land together. And of that 12, there's two still remaining at Muramura, two founding members. And it's just grown since then. I think it started off being very much about earth building and building together, you know, as they built all the houses. And the council gave permission for 30 households to be built on the property at that time.
And this is property is just outside Healesville.
Yeah, it's on the top of Mount Toolbeewong. Mm-hmm. It's 620 acres on the summit of the mountain. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So it's now we've got 29 houses built of that 30. There's one house site left. And the focus is changing from building to other areas. We host the largest solar training centre in the Southern Hemisphere. So we get people flying in from all over the Asia Pacific to do Glenn's courses in... And he tests new technologies, basically. So we're about to get a huge solar farm put in.
Yes.
So much so that he needs a heat dump, and that he was saying that we're going to have to get a sauna and a spa. And devastated.
Oh, no.
And it has to be at my house because we're the closest to the solar system. So isn't that a shame?
Oh, damn.
It's incredible. So what size of that solar...
90 metres long, and trackers, so they'll be angling. I'm not sure of the size of each panel, but it's a 90 metre long strip, and there may be two rows, I'm not sure, but it's going to generate loads of power. Muramura is entirely off-grid.
Okay,
nobody
is
connected to the grid for water and power.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a spring and tanks for rainwater and... living entirely off-grid, we do sometimes rely on generators in winter, but this new solar system is apparently going to obliterate any need for jennies and backup or
anything. You have batteries to back up as well. So
He doesn't have enough batteries at the moment. That's why we've got to just try and use straight from the panels. So we've got to try and use as much of that power as it comes in. So it's not many people's problem when they're on off-grid on solar that they're going to have too much power and have to use it with heating element things. But, so it's pretty cool. And I guess that's that progressive edge of us looking forward. And we've got our own. We just declared state of climate emergency and have our own climate action group happening as well. And there's a lot of action happening on the mountain that's spreading off and connected in. I guess I'm connected in with the main group off, as well as a few other people at Muramura. And, you know, just seeing so much action for the earth happening at the moment. It's immense.
Yeah.
It's great.
And is an intentional community that has families living there as well. So this is intergenerational.
Yeah.
Movement. Like there's two original founders still living there. It'd be amazing to have that legacy still connected.
Yeah. And the age of the people living there, our oldest member is now nearly 95 and she's amazing. She's so cool. And right down to 2-year-olds, you know.
Yep.
So it's great.
Whole family. It's incredible. It's a village.
It is.
And so why do you think, you mentioned before in the break, that a lot of intentional communities don't always have longevity? Why do you think Muramura has been so successful in that?
I think we've developed really strong processes over time. We know that to live on community, you must have good communication skills. Mm-hmm. So we invest in nonviolent communication workshops and other kind of personal development workshops, and we have really strong processes. We've got a lot of committees, and one of them is the Reach Out Committee, and they are, if somebody's withdrawing or something's going on for somebody, the Reach Out Committee will approach them and say, what do you need? Do you need some help? Do you need mediation with somebody? Or, you know, so we're trying to really put a lot of energy into making sure that everybody's well-being is okay. And, yeah, I think that that's really important, especially because we don't have a guru or any religious, you know, backing that we can all believe in. And some people are there for more social reasons than environmental and vice versa. So it's broad, but a long joining process, which is quite rigorous. And
that's about, I think, bringing up a little about that before. It's pretty much like it's making sure that it's best fit for both the community and for the person who wants to move in. Like, is this the right fit?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you can't just come become a member.
Yes.
You have to live there for quite some time so that we can all feel out how it works for everybody. And
Yeah. And those three things that you mentioned around a really strong process, communication, but also that supporting each other and look after mental health is, you know, that success for more and more. But it's success for any group, any organisation, particularly, I think, from community groups. Obviously, community groups who have survived or lived and thrived throughout the years, and some who... who after a few years disbanded. And I think it's one of those three key elements are always missing. Either the process isn't there, communication's not there, or they're not looking after each other, not supporting each other.
Mm.
I think you've really hit those nail on the head. Those three things are so important for any kind of organisation, if it's a community group or if it's an intentional community.
Yeah, I guess
particularly the last one around looking and supporting each other as well.
I mean, that's your role, isn't it, as a community development officer? It sort of feels like that is what you would spend your time looking after.
Yeah, a lot is it is just bringing people together and then asking these questions around, particularly around looking after each other.
But
processes too, because it's really important to people be clear around what the purpose is and what the process is, and that balance between, you know, allowing people to grow and being connected, but also having some clear guidelines around how we do things and how do we make decisions. Because without that clear understanding of those things, people, you know, there is conflict. And that non-violent communication as well is so important.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Do you have anything at Peace Farm, Trav, like in place for conflict resolution or anything like that?
Yeah, look, we as a community, and we have just basic processes where we regular meetings, bring attention to, I guess, awareness of everyone's journeys and what's going on, and getting external help as well. So getting external facilitators to come and guide the group for strategy and conflict resolution, that sort of thing, I think's been very beneficial for us. We're a very young enterprise, you know, and community, and we're still working out, you know, how it all works. Still forming, but process. I think Chelsea just hit it on the head. Really, those things are just critical.
Yeah, and it's a fine balance too, because to bring people in the same room together and have the same conversation, you need those clear, common understandings around why you're here and what the purpose is.
And I think it's really relevant, I think, to the climate action, because really a lot of the problems we're facing is because of individualisation and withdrawing from community, and we've actually lost a lot of skills to actually how to work together. Mm. We're used to top-down processes and people telling us what we need to do, but for these types of actions that we're all part of, whether it be ECOS or festivals, like, it's actually about people working together, so we need to relearn actually how we do that, and we've got a lot of learning to do.
Continuous learning.
Yeah, but there's lots of great formats. Look, we've got some great relative to that, actually, we've got an event coming up on the 15th of November as part of the downshifting revolution, which is organised by Mayor Ward, myself, and we actually got a grant from council to help put on these series of events. But this one in particular, Dan Palmer's coming in, and he's all about holistic management and what he refers to as living permaculture design. So it's basically working with visions and this I guess conversations about how do we create together on real life problems that are always changing and always dynamic. You can create a design for your garden, but as soon as you've written it down, it actually becomes outdated because the garden's always changing. So Dan explores all these processes to how we can still make a plan, be strategic, create a vision, but actually then how do we bring the humanness to it? How do we connect with other people involved? How do we integrate all elements of a whole to make a living design. So that's coming up on an evening on Friday the 15th of November, and then he's running a two-day workshop going through a whole bunch of processes to help people co-create, essentially. So I'm really excited about that event. I've been wanting to do his workshop for a long time. So
sounds phenomenal.
We're bringing him over. So, yeah, if you're on a property or working in a community group, I think you'll find Dan Palmer's work. Yeah, he's actually got a regular podcast. I think he's up to 30 podcasts now. Oh, he's interviewing people from all over the world. There is a movement now brewing for living design and holistic management.
So what's his podcast called?
If you just Google Dan Palmer podcast, it'll come up.
Yep.
I think it's called Making Permaculture Stronger is what he's working on there. And he's, a close, a student of David Holmgren and works very closely with him and challenges also a lot of his previous ideas. And he's amazing man. So it's happening. With all the groups coming together and all this creation, it's coming down to the pointy end of looking after ourselves and also how to look after each other and how to create together.
So I've had a really good background around what's happened in the past year around the history of ECOS and Peace Farm and more and what's happening now, but kind of looking to the future, where to from here. Firstly, what do you see maybe happening next year or so? Like, there's big momentum happening. What if you came back to a year's time from now, what do you think, what's your hopes around the future now, and particularly it's in the area, maybe globally as well, around that momentum? What could happen? What's the potential sort of, hopeful, inspiring vision for the future?
Sure. Well, look, Chelsea mentioning, like, the weather events are becoming more noticeable, especially for myself as a grower. Like, it's really extreme, and we're in a pretty mild environment, and it's really challenging to grow food now. And so expect... And it's already happening, but the effects of the drought, expect more stress, more people getting the negative feedback loops from the environment that something's not right, higher fuel prices, higher vegetable prices. You know, more people are going to be affected, which means then more people are going to want to take action and be inspired to make a change. So I think, it's good to be hopeful, but actually things are going to get worse, that the food, the loops are, you know, it's already happening, but the positive is that people wake up and actually have a go at creating the world we want to create. So, yeah, expect more. I mean, for me personally, we're working on an organic community whole foods project at the moment, initially to get organic food to our area affordable and working as a community to actually make that available, because organic agriculture is the best form of commercial food production. The best is to grow your own. You've just got to do that. Yep. But you really need to support all the organic industry. And yes, it's expensive, but if we work together as a community, we can make it more affordable. So we've got that going. But the next step of that is actually connect with growers and specifically to support, like people are supporting me as a veggie grower, but we actually support the farmers directly and buy directly off them as well. So that's down the track. So expect more of that sort of thing. I think, just a lot of this awareness around working together as well, a lot more. Great events like the African Immersion coming up, and more events that actually give us an outlet to express ourselves and connect each other on that level as well.
Mm. What do you think, you look to the future, your crystal ball, what do you see happening?
Well, I mean, I think it's great that the local council has now declared a climate emergency, and I guess I'd like to see more action on a bigger scale, on a federal level.
Yes.
Yeah. In terms of climate action. Yeah.
Mm. And Chelsea, there's already a climate action group formed there as well.
Yeah. I think for me, an angle that has struck me is more doing more cultural work, multicultural work, and we've been working, with the Tuvaluan community. Hi, Brad. Tuvalu is a community that are in serious crisis. You know, they're one of the largest environmental refugee issues at the moment. They're all being taken from their land because they're sinking. They're a sinking island. And we're going to be dealing with more multiculturalism in Australia through refugees. And I think the best way for education and awareness to happen around protecting our environment is to work with different multicultural groups, and I feel like that's a way of not just preaching to the converted, but reaching whole families and their values and learning from each other, because there's so much richness in many cultures.
And particularly our First Nation people.
Exactly. You know,
they've been looking after this land for so long.
Yeah.
I think we really need to be listening to them now and learning.
That's right. There's a lot of, you know, workshops and talks on about the moment. You know, the Indigenous people didn't trash the land like we have. And in any culture, in any area around the world, you know, we really have so much to learn. And so that I think the way of the future is listening to, firstly, our Indigenous people and connecting with your local Indigenous. Like, Wurundjeri people have been really great with us. We work with Aunty Kim Wandan a lot, mm-hmm. and she's very open and inspiring and beautiful woman to learn from and to have as part of our kind of
our community.
And yeah, and the other people, so Leanne's working a lot with our West African community, and
I think it's really important to bring community together, and you know, we can also get a bit depressed with the looming climate stuff hanging over our heads, and they say one of the best antidepressants is actually playing music and dancing. So so this Saturday I am organizing West African immersion at ECOS. And we've got an African drumming workshop with an incredible drummer called Basidi Cohn coming. He's quite renowned Ghanaian drummer. So he's doing the drumming workshop at 3:00 this Saturday. And then we've got 5 p.m. we've got a African dance workshop. So get those endorphins moving. and then we're going to have African food from 6:00 and then go into the night with some live African music. So we've got Roderick McLeod playing Kora. He's from the Dandenongs. We've got Kofi Kumpe, master drummer from Warburton. He's from Ghana, but now lives in the Yarra Valley. Valanga is a South African. He actually came out of the apartheid. He's got amazing stories to tell about. Yeah, and he sings and plays guitar, and yeah, Amber City plays balafon as well, which is like, it's a bit like a big xylophone, I guess, a very beautiful instrument. Yeah, so there's going to be a mix of African music and dance and food all happening at ECOS this Saturday.
Sounds phenomenal.
Yeah, should be fun.
And so,
and Yarra Valley drummers, I should mention, are also playing, because, yeah.
Packed full. And to find out more, people can go to ecos.org.au.
Look under events and you'll find West African Immersion, or you'll find it on Facebook page at ECOS.
Awesome. And as people get their paper and pen ready, anything else coming now that people can be involved in? Peace Farm or the ECOS or more?
I think you already mentioned there's Recycled Fashion Parade, so that's all about encouraging slow fashion. And that's happening at ECOS on Saturday, the 26th of October. And that is, I believe, a fundraiser for ECOS.
Yeah. That's we're actually, it's hosted by this awesome Hands. Whoever's ever seen Hands or no Hands?
Hands all over.
Yeah. I wish we're not allowed to say that anymore.
Hands. Sorry, just Hands.
But,
H-A-N-S.
Yeah, Hands, not Hands. so they are inviting more people to participate in that. So
yeah,
if
fantastic.
You would like to look up either on the ECOS site or contact Melanie Allen 0417 160862 or Karina, they have a look on the Facebook site or whatever and get involved, because it's a really fun event. There's different categories, and some is like trash fash, where you're making outfits out of what others would see as rubbish.
Yeah.
And otherwise, some people put a lot of effort in and, you know, sew up tea towels into those most incredible outfits.
Gosh.
And, you know, yeah, definitely worth coming to. Even if you're not involved, just come. It's a really great event.
And so at ECOS, are you looking for volunteers particularly at the time?
Yeah, we rely on volunteers. You know, we're doing a lot on a shoestring, and with, you know, there's much many opportunities for involvement, I guess. Mm-hmm. And you could come and express in what area you would like to be involved. You don't have to just do what you're asked to do. And so come and check it out, or email me on info@ecos.org.au if you actually want to meet and organise something. I've got one more thing I wanted say about Muramura. So we've got a living in community workshop coming up. So it's Friday the 1st of November to Sunday the 3rd of November. So it's a accommodation, vegetarian meals. There's only 15 places, and it's a pretty amazing event because it's hosted by the Dr. Peter Cock, who's a sociologist and environmentalist, and he's a co-founder and a director of Muramura, but he's also the president of the Sustainable Living Foundation in Melbourne, and they put on the... And Cian O'Sullivan, he has been at Muramura for 30 years and, you know, he's an active resident, but he's built his own house and has a strong interest in governance, and he's a wealth of knowledge in those areas. And you get tours of the community and to see the solar training centre and all other sort of things going on. Incredible. And, it's kind of a rare opportunity to immerse yourself in that for a whole weekend, unless you come to Earth Artbeat Festival on November the 8th to the 10th, which is just going to be so much fun. There's back-to-back music, arts, lots of sculpture.
I'll be playing.
Yeah, Leanne's playing with the anecdote. There's we've got Gunga Giri, Ungus, Mickey Space, Pirate Scar Rebellion, just to name a few. We've got Mel Webb and Kylie Morrigan and incredible talent coming. But we also have lots of workshops and loads of arts, a gallery space, a dome, heaps of kids' activities. It's really kid-friendly, camping for 3 days.
Fantastic. And to find more, go to Muramura on Facebook.
So that you would look up Earth Art Beat Festival 2019 or go to www.earthheart with two H's .org.au.
Fantastic. And Travis, how about for yourself? What's happening coming up for you?
Probably, a great thing to do would be to join Permaculture Yarra Valley. It's $25 for a membership, and we put on a whole bunch of free and heavily discounted events for our members. We've had just recently miso making, which was really awesome.
I just made my first miso a few months ago. Right. So
It's incredible. Yeah. And it's just part of the whole spirit of, look, let's just learn how to make everything again. Let's avoid going to supermarkets. Mm-hmm. Let's just learn,
multiculturalism.
Multiculturalism, totally. Right. So, and also we've got some soap making coming up with Doris Posse in a couple of weeks. Permaculture Yarra Valley is just a great organisation to join to be in the loop with that sort of stuff. I mentioned the Dan Palmer events. First Saturday of the month at Peace Farm is Living Permaculture Day, and that's a combination of free workshops and paid workshops and working bee sort of vibe.
To the membership for the Permaculture Society,
that's Permaculture Yarra Valley.
On website, Facebook?
Yes, on both. Yes. Both. So you can go, just if you just Google Permaculture Yarra Valley, it'll come up, and there's an online membership form, and on Facebook
sounds like
as well.
A bargain.
It is. It's fantastic. It's really some amazing events coming up, so you really want to get involved. Yeah.
You can do your PDC, can't you?
We also run training. We haven't run one this year, but there'll be some more training coming up very soon. So
That actually was hosted at ECOS time, so it was a nice marriage of
the last
our.
Two, right?
The last two. So and at the moment Graham's doing a from Permaculture Yarra Valley, a advanced PDC at ECOS.
Yeah, food forest design, which is exciting as well. So there's all this cross pollination going on, which is great.
It's incredible. Well, I think we're almost time to wrap up. Thank you so much, Chelsea, Leanne, and Travis for today. It's been amazing.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Greg.
No worries. Good to have you all crammed into the studio.
And I have one last plug too. Talk about community. There's Little Yarra Community Group, which is the Powertown, Three Bridges and Gilderoy, are having their community planning event this Saturday. So talking about thinking about the future, they're doing a community planning event this Saturday at the Powertown Hall from 6 o'clock. So if you live in the area, in Powertown or Little Yarra Road, come along and enjoy some food, meet your community, and talk about what you'd like to see happen in the future for that area. It's a great day.
Fantastic.
That's excellent. Thank you.
Okay, this is Yarra Valley FM 99.1. It's 5 minutes to two. The news is on at 2 o'clock. So thank you very much, Michael Goodrich from the Shire, for another great show, bringing along our guests Travis from the Yarra Valley Community for Climate Action group, and Chelsea and Leanne from ECOS, of course, and the crazy and wonderful events coming up, especially this Saturday. Sounds like a real blast. Yep. Stick around, more music, more news, lots of things for you here on The Voice of the Valley, Yarra Valley FM 99.1.